Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Let's go! One on three! One, two, three!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on two. One, two, three.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Since the first year Mike has been here. So we look at this as like we got to win every time we play Buffalo. That's kind of how we look at it. I don't think you can look at it any other way. And for us as a team, collectively this year, I mean, we got nothing to lose. We got to go all in with this.
Last game against Buffalo teach you about, I guess, what did you learn from that matchup? I don't want to say what did it teach you. You played them like 20 times.
Mm-hmm. On game-winning drive, can't throw an interception. So, yeah, just got to find a way to finish better and, place our team in a better position than that when we're able to go down and potentially tie the game up.
All right, Tua Tagovailoa. Talk yesterday. Listen, I listen to his stuff. I'm always curious to see what he's going to say, obviously, because he's had some weeks where he was like, ooh, he did not say that, did he, really? Anyway, yesterday's right, man. He was asked about, you worried about getting benched? And no, I'm focused on being better, and I got to play better. And this game this week, against Buffalo, if we get in a tight game, I got to figure a way to close it out. Listen, Josh Allen is 14-2. He's never lost at home. One of those, a playoff win against the Dolphins. And he's played really well. Played well down here. He's played really well up there. Got him once his rookie year. And then, as Tua talked about a few years back, early in the season in the heat, I think they ran like 90 plays against us too. It was a wild and crazy game. And but that's got to be Tua's thing, is, man. I'm guessing Mike has talked to him. They talk a lot. They should, man. They are locked together. They're locked together for a lot of different reasons. And one guy, said, hey, man, you're my guy. I'm going to bat for you. You're my franchise quarterback. And so he's not going anywhere. He's going to, as long as Mike's making that decision, Tua is going to be the starting quarterback unless he is just really, really bad later in the year, and maybe they take a look at somebody else. But Tua's going to be the guy, and he's right. Like, hey, man, I didn't even know this was going on, which is kind of hard to imagine. He doesn't hear all this stuff. He said he once again yesterday said he doesn't follow social media. But I'm guessing Ann kind of educates him and gets him ready for questions that are going to be asked. So I'm guessing he had a pretty good idea. I always love when players tell me they don't hear anything. It's really hard, no matter who you are, no matter how private you are, when you've got people in your life that you work out with, that you do business with, that are your friends away from the game, they hear everything. I mean, you want to know the people really hear everything? I've gotten in more guys upset at me over the last 35 years from something they heard secondary, not heard directly. That's at least what they tell me. So, dude, I heard you this. I go, well, I didn't say that, but I did say close to that, yes. But I, you know, and you go through it. So this stuff that Tua keeps saying that he doesn't hear anything, okay. I don't believe it, but okay. So he said yesterday, I didn't know this noise about, you know, my job's in jeopardy was out there. Nobody's mentioned it inside the building. And I don't follow social media. Hit the social media button. And hey, maybe he doesn't check his phone every 5 minutes, but he got a lot of people. And let me tell you the weakest people about following stuff, as I've learned, wives, the wives and girlfriends, they hear everything. And by the way, then all their friends, they hear everything. And then whether it's a hater or a lover in the media, if you love them or you hate them, you want to hear what they're saying about your guy. Love, that's the way love works. And by the way, as upset as players may get, wives and girlfriends get a lot more upset when you say things about them. And I'm not going to get, and I got to tell you, that goes for coaches and front office people, where they go, hey, calm down. It's all right. You're not going to do that. You know, hey, man, it doesn't matter what they say. They're on the outside. And so when somebody tells me they don't hear it, I just gave you a couple of examples. It's really hard for me to imagine when your family likes to know. And by the way, nowadays, families live in different states. They can hear everything you're saying. They can listen right now. They can listen on your podcast all day. Hey, this is what a guy that does your games and is on in the morning said about you. Yeah, they get all of it. I'm not stroking myself. I'm just saying a lot of different ways. And these podcasts that get sent out to Dolphin fans or to family members who are Dolphin fans because their family members coach or play for the Dolphins, they hear everything. So, but I like Tua's approach, man. I loved what he said. Hey, man, I got to get ready for this game. I can't turn the ball over. We're getting another tight ball game. I got to close it. And he knows, you know, his comments he made about Josh Allen last time we played was one of those moments you went, he did not say that. he did not say that. I've had about five of those moments with Tua this year on his press conference. He did not say that. And by the way, I don't usually hear him right away. Somebody calls me to tell me. And I don't want to say who it is, but he might be coming in at 8 o'clock. Kim Bocamper. So I always love when – and the Josh Allen was, oh, man, I can't throw and run like he can do, man. It's like – I just – and I have this to go back on, and it's a fault. It's a fault of mine. I don't mind. It's a fault of mine. I go, man, Dan Marino, if he's playing against Joe Montana or Jim Kelly, trying to think anybody else that was good when he was playing, when I was there, that guy wasn't giving anybody love. he wanted, and by the way, his personal, whoever he was playing against, he was out, whatever you're going to do, I can't control what you're going to do to our defense, but I know what I'm going to do to your defense. And so, you know, it made for, you know, great play. I don't remember Danny ever going, I tell you, I wish I could run like that guy, or wish I was 6'10", or no, he was very comfortable in who he was and what he could do every day, full of confidence. We've got to, man, that went by fast, Woody. Are we already at 7 o'clock hour this morning, man? We are flying Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist. We'll hear from him. We're hearing from everybody this week. We're all, anybody out there, we're hearing from just about. So Perk will join us at 8 o'clock. Bo will be in as soon as he finishes up some business this morning. We'll have him join us and talk about all these things.
Omar Kelly has graced us on the video feed. And I texted Omar this morning. I said, hey, I want to talk about the Tua situation. Hawk is off, but I'd like you to join Crowder and I. And I was telling everybody earlier in the show, Omar, he joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, Miami Dolphins columnist covering the team for the Miami Herald. Yesterday, I'd asked Zach Gelb, who joins us. He's a national talk show host. We were just kind of asking him his national perspective on the Dolphins. He's not geared in like you are, obviously, around the team, but he's got a good pulse of what's going on, Omar. And we asked him what he thought the interest around the league would be for Tua Tagovailoa this offseason, or what he would have to do to garner interest. And he said his opinion that he thinks it would be virtually impossible for the Dolphins to trade Tua at the end of the season. And I clipped it and I posted it on social media. And this morning, I'm just looking at the comments. And Caleb Smith commented on Facebook, according to Omar Kelly, there's a huge market for Tua if he were to be released or traded. Well, and he said, so why don't y'all get him on this topic? I said, okay, Caleb. All right, I'll get Omar on this topic then. I want to be free and fair here. I'll get Omar on this topic. So, Omar, I would like to ask you, you know, beyond all, everything else from today, you were at practice. You spoke to some of the players. I see there's no more Papa Shot, which I can't wait to talk to you about. What do you really think the market would be for Tua, or does he have to play a certain way this final stretch, final half of the season, in order to bolster the idea of somebody trading for him?
I want you to know that you inspired my column that will be in today's Miami Herald, where the whole bottom portion explains what's remaining on Tua's contract. It's probably the most complicated situation to sum up to anybody. But the bottom line is Tua is getting $55 million from the Dolphins or somebody else next year. Who pays it? Who knows? And if you cut him, then you're basically having a dead cap of $99 million. So he's playing in the NFL unless he retires and cashes out an injury settlement. And I think that that's a slim possibility. Now, when I said that there are teams that were interested in Tua, that was based on me talking, reporting. And I know head coaches that are definitely interested in Tua. One of them does have a quarterback now. And then one of them, we depends on the situation, how the season plays out. He might not have a quarterback. He might have a quarterback. Then you look at the New Orleans Saints. You telling me that if they don't end up with one of these hopeful quarterbacks, that they're not going to be interested in Tua and putting him in the dome situation? I find that hard to believe, especially considering his head coach is a lefty and just like him. So obviously, you know, there's some commonalities there. There will be interest in Tua. The contract is not ideal. It's really going to be a turnoff to everybody. But that's the reality of the situation. I mean, I have a hard time believing that he's not going to be here next year.
And, to that point, or just to the attention he's getting or the interest he'll have, my thing is Tua can play football in this league. That's not what I'm saying when I say, no, you know, low interest. Is somebody going to hand him the reins again? He's our franchise. Like, it's Tua. Because I think, I don't know if you heard me, I think 2023, he's coming up. He's moving. He hit 2023. I think we hit the bell curve and he's going back down, or at least plateauing. I don't think we're going to see a better Tua than 2023.
Listen, even Tua said, and this is part of the column, he's trying to get back to where I was. I don't understand why my game has changed and why I'm not feeling as comfortable as I am. I know why, but, you know, I'm not feeling as comfortable. My footwork isn't right. You know, I'm trying to get back to that old form. And I'm thinking to myself, with what receivers? I'm thinking to myself, with what offensive line? You know, he's – and this is not to make excuses for him. He does not look like the same quarterback. He is – you know, he got that Jay Cutler disease where if you come in close to him, I'm throwing the ball away. Like, it's out of my hand. Like, don't hit him. But he's also instructed to do this.
Right.
He's instructed to play this way because everybody hammered in his brain, just keep yourself available to the team. Okay. Well, it's altered his game a little bit, slightly, just a little bit.
What? Oh, to that point. So I think you're a little higher on Tua than me.
Yeah.
But we talked about it where, like, the Lions offense, that play action, having two hellified running backs, you can run the ball and win games. Now you have the deep ball play action. Tua's arm, I don't think, can thrive in that deep ball offense. He can't play with in the Ravens offense or the Bills offense. He's not that athletic enough. Like, what kind of offense does Tua have to play? Does it have to be timing and throwing the windows?
Yeah, but he thrived in that offense, and he thrived throwing the deep balls in 22 and 23. We just haven't seen it in 24. Now, has the arm slightly decreased? I don't know, maybe. But I've seen Tua throw a 45 yards on a rope. That's not his strength, but that wasn't Ryan Tannehill's strength. And he played, 10 seasons, if not more, as a starter in the NFL? I don't think it's the deep ball. I mean, and realistically, outside of Jalen Waddle, who are you throwing a deep ball to on this team?
Alec Ingold. Apparently Alec Ingold, Omar.
We got you.
Yeah, I do think he needs a little bit more targets, but that's a whole
– Stop.
Listen, nobody ever defends Alec Ingold. Think about it. They always assume he's blocking. What's supposed to be fakes blocks and goes out for a route? You know what I'm saying? On somebody like Channing Crowder, he'd probably be open.
Wow. We got you for 11 yards. Man, oh, man. Now you can't base no offense around that.
I mean, what you want? Listen, it's funny. I say this, and Crowder, you could understand. Do you realize that their best offense is six offensive linemen on the field and four targets? It's like they said, forget the fifth target.
Yeah.
We can play well if we can protect the quarterback. Think about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
If you run the ball better and you protect the quarterback and he really don't need five outlets, why wouldn't you think about just going with six offensive linemen?
Yeah.
Just think about it a little bit. Oh. It works.
Omar, if Crowder could have been on the field as a linebacker going up against a team that had Larry Borum and Greg Dulcich as the two tight ends,
oh,
you'd still be in the league.
Pro bowler.
You'd still be in the league.
What? I could lock down Borum. Choco. Oh, but listen, I you're right, too. The six offensive line thing. They're going to figure that out. They're going to know Fat Boy's not going out. They're going to start doubling people. Like, that was the thing about Mike McDaniel's stuff, and Aronde Gaston called it years ago. If his stuff works, it works. If they got him, there's no – he can't turn a page over. There's no plan B is what we kept calling it. What's the – like, that's what he had – it seemed like the six offensive linemen was a plan B, but the plan B didn't hit until 3 weeks ago. Hell,
we're 4 years in. I was begging them the year three when they couldn't run the ball to put a jumbo – go to a jumbo package. But, you know, that's besides the point. Right now, they're problem solving. They don't have Darren Waller. They don't have Tyreek Hill. Who is your second best weapon? Malik Washington? Like, you know, Devon Achane is catching, probably going to catch more balls than any back in team history at this point. You know, you have two legit weapons on this team. Who in the NFL can you beat with two legit weapons?
Obviously, the Falcons
and the Jets
and the Falcons.
Hey, they just caught them. They just caught them sleeping on that six offensive lineman.
Omar,
surprise.
Omar, before we let you go, I know you have a busy day ahead of you. The plan right now from the front office, they let go of Chris Greer. I don't think anybody's very surprised that was the move, but I do think there's people who are surprised Mike McDaniel is sticking around here. The plan moving forward, where we're reading reports that Mike McDaniel might still have a job next season, depending on how he does this year. What do you make of the whole thing? I mean, I see you laughing. What do you make of this entire situation? You keep Greer, but or you let go of Greer, but not McDaniel. Like, how is this going to work out?
Let me counter your reports. Which is, I mean, what else are they going to say? Let me counter your reports. Crowder, you remember when Joey stepped up in the meeting room and basically was like, Cam Cameron, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm right next to him. I was grabbing his pant leg like a little kid trying to keep daddy home. Sit your ass down, PZ. Sit down. Man, you full of bleep. You don't know what the hell going on.
Yeah. Listen, the minute the locker room thinks you don't know what's going on, you can't fix it, and like we are doomed, and they start checking out, you're done. You're done as a head coach. Gase tried to change the entire locker room. Who was it? Was it Gase or Joe Philbin? I think Joe Philbin tried to change the entire locker room too. It doesn't matter. When they check out, and they're not coming back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing you could do. As long as one or two players is there, they'll sit there in the meeting room and be like, this dog don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
So all these people were saying, Mike's safe. Mike's safe if they start winning games, maybe. But think about it from Steve Ross's perspective. How can you sell this team to a fan base if you bring Mike back? Exactly what do you say? What do you do? This fan base is, they're done. They're like, no more of this. I'm good. I'm tapping out. And I really don't know if you could do anything other than massive change up to get their interest again. And it's going to be a tough uphill battle for this Dolphins organization.
They took out the Papa Shot. You had to know, man, that they were interested in Papa Shot. Now they're not thinking about Papa
Shot.
Well,
they're getting ready for Buffalo, Omar, right? Yeah, they're getting ready for Buffalo.
The Papa Shot was taking over their minds.
Listen, it's so funny because it's a Papa Shot and a basketball rim, but they took out both of them. And those things must have taken so many shots. The Papa Shot been broken like four times already. We're on week 9. The Papa Shot has been broken like four times. We're in the locker room. There might be 400 shots taken, from the Papa Shot. You walk into the shower, Papa Shot. Papa Shot. You know how it is, Crowder. You try. It was a gathering thing. It was a meeting place. It was a bonding thing. I guess they figured week 9, we done bonded. We good. We
So the Papa Shot was a distraction. What's the care? Me and Salon talked about this earlier. You're talking about motivation or people checking out on McDaniel. What is the carrot that you're chasing? What's the carrot that they're – I guess, what are they selling the players as that carrot that they're chasing?
It's funny because Bradley Chubb called – he's like, I might be delusional, but I still think we got a shot at winning the game. Yeah. And I'll be like, okay, Bradley, you are indeed delusional. People are playing for their futures, NFL futures, for their future roles, for their future contracts, for their future employer, maybe for their future head coach. This is really about, this is when you get the repeated to you, the eye in the sky, don't lie. Mm-hmm. I got to put good stuff on film because that's going to be my resume. Like, you cannot quit on a team. It makes it very hard on you when you do quit on a team and people are not going to want to employ you.
Omar, do you eat nachos?
No, I just cheese. Why would I do that?
I knew that because you don't eat sandwiches. Today's National Nachos Day. I figured nachos, there's just too much going on a plate for you.
It's the cheese component. I'll eat the chips with some picadillo. I mean, not picadillo. Salsa. I forget what people.
Guac. You eat guac? Like guac and chips? You don't eat guacamole?
No. I will eat it in a roll, but I'll be like, but I'll survive with it in a roll, but I'm not enjoying it. I don't enjoy guacamole.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, y'all grown men don't eat nothing.
So you don't eat like mozzarella sticks?
Oh, I do eat mozzarella. If it's mozzarella, I'll give it a try.
He likes fried cheese. You like fried cheese then?
Pizza and mozzarella sticks is probably about the extent of my cheese experience. But I mean, if I eat cheese, whoever's around me gonna pay the consequences. It's not just that I don't like it.
You got that milk.
Cheese don't like me either. Channing, you've been vegan for a hot minute. Once you start eating all that stuff, oh man.
This guy, TikTok trend, Omar, this guy is taking down prebiotic, probiotic, kombucha.
Yeah,
he spent $75 on some health vitamins downstairs, And meanwhile, he threw down 7,000 calories of sushi in between each of those kombuchas.
Hey, oh, you're getting on your peptides and your collagen? You got to get your peptide collagen in you.
You know what? The collagen, I do need to research it.
There you go. See, yeah. Look at
all them old cougars, they real big on the collagen. You know what I'm saying?
Look at Salon. Look at, he looks all sick and meagly. Look
his,
at
his
him.
His wife know about that collagen.
He's TikTok health guy final boss. Omar Kelly, read his work. By the way, it looks like our show inspired a column tonight. That's pretty cool. Read it. MiamiHerald.com. Omar, we love you, man. Thank you so much.
I guess.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. Back with you here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Hey, champion boxer Mike Tyson is bringing his Return of the Mike show to the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood this December. Stories and more from Iron Mike. And we got your chance to win tickets. Just keep on listening to our show for details on how you can win. Can't wait to win. Buy your tickets.
Are you guys going?
For purchase at Casino. When is it? December
15th?
15th? Eh, maybe. I wouldn't mind going. Would you want to hear stories and more from Iron Mike? I think I would. We did enjoy our stories when he was talking about his birds. Loves his birds. Tickets are available.
Really? Can't bring Jay Fig around him.
That's true. Tickets available for purchase at casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood/events. Get to a little 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored here, which is brought to you by the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Get offers on select models for a limited time. Learn more at Lexus.com. Get to that holiday season. Went to the mall this week. They're starting to set up the snow globe up there, the Wellington Mall.
Already?
Yep. Yep. They got a bum-ass Santa, though. A real hack.
Oh, God. I love this.
What?
I'm going at it on Twitter.
Oh. Same guy?
Same guy. Like, they just think they're telling me, go watch the tape.
Watch the
Shador. I said, I've watched it in 30 teams. 32 teams have watched it. And he went in the fifth round. And why is that? Because they have questions about his timely throws.
And maybe, and perhaps for Sass.
I don't care. See, like, I'm an adult. Contrary to popular, I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I want guys on my team that can play. Okay? You can only have a couple of try-hard guys on your team. You need talent.
I understand. But if you had questions of the talent and then on top of it there was Sass.
But we talk about talent first, you know? Right? And that's what it is. And I'm not like – and guess what? I'm also the first one to say – if he can't play his rookie year, it's not the end of the world.
It's not.
As long as he puts in the work.
This is from ESPN on the Dolphins trade deadline. It says, what are the most interesting nuggets you've heard on players who didn't get moved? And this is from Dan Graziano. He says, I heard that the Dolphins got a lot of calls on wide receiver Jalen Waddle, along with many of their other players, but Miami told teams it would take a first-round pick to get Waddle, which nobody was willing to give up. Jeremy Fowler says, Waddle's situation was compelling. I was told that the Broncos were among the teams that explored a deal for him as an elite wideout at age 26 with a reasonable contract that was enticing. The Steelers and Giants and others either had interest or would have had interest if not for the steep price tag, which, depending on what team you ask, fluctuated between a first-round pick or a one-plus first-rounder plus more. Some teams had a tough time getting a read on Miami's intentions at the deadline, which is understandable 4 days removed from general manager Chris Greer getting fired.
Yeah, I think, like, when you say everybody is available and then teams start calling,
mm-hmm,
and kind of call your bluff.
Right.
And then you
see what that really means.
You kind of saying, I really don't want to get rid of him. Right. And that's kind of what they were saying. Like, yeah, it said everybody was available. But think about it. The bigger issue with this team is you have a 53 man roster and only two guys got a look. Right. That were appealing to other
Phillips
teams.
And Waddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That in itself is a problem. When you look at the Jets, just as bad as the Dolphins, and they ended up with three first-round picks and a second-round pick.
I saw somebody call on Zach Sealer, too, but they wanted like a day two pick for him.
Yeah. Which, okay, like, again, that kind of makes my point. You understand what I'm saying? My point is being made that you're trying to win games with nobody on your team that's appealing to any other team in the NFL.
Not what you're asking for. Like, there is I understand there is a fine line of, like, you don't just give up guys. If somebody knocks your socks off, you make a move for
– sure, so you listen. But, like, yeah, we have an interest. Like, dude, come on. Only two guys? You see what I'm saying? Like, that in itself is is that not – in itself, a fireable offense?
Schmuthen says, who called on Zach Sealer? Brandsmart? I don't think he has to work at a Brandsmart anymore.
Timu.
He is set. I'm telling you, though, it is interesting when they're like, oh, we don't know what direction they're going. Neither do we. I'm kind of confused, too. Like, I genuinely am like, do I think this ends with the Dolphins cleaning house, or does this end with them bridging and doing another thing where they're going to try and make McDaniel work? I think that's the thing that everybody is a little confused by. Is like, okay,
yeah,
we knew Stephen Ross, you know, in the words of Vlad, streets needed a body. So we knew he finally got to the point where he's like, all right.
Which had to be pretty damn hard, right?
Right. It finally got to the point where he's like, all right, I'm parting ways with Chris Greer. But he's keeping McDaniel. And now he's got this guy, Champ Kelly, here. And it's like, all right. is this the regime he's going to go with, or do you think he's truly going to get to a point? Like, do the next six games matter, whatever they have, seven games left? Do they matter anymore?
I don't think
in
so.
What's left?
Because
or is there something that these guys, because you know, he didn't make any trades. So, like, what can happen that will either show you can do the job or not do the job? Or is he going to say, oh, no, these are the guys I believe in. We're going to go clean slate into the next season. And who's going to believe in that? Who's going to believe that these guys can take you into any kind of successful era of football?
I would say start with this. Nobody on your team was appealing except for a couple of guys. So if we start there, we realize we have to get more talent. How do we do that? Okay, how do we get more talent? However, the next person that comes in decides to do that, then you look at the head coach and you say, okay, who else can we get? Now, everybody's going to throw names out there, okay? But you got to be able to say, okay, how long should it take? Are we going to be patient with it? And there's a lot of conversations that need to be had simply because that where the team is right now, is it that appealing of a job?
No.
Right. So who are you going to find except another Mike McDaniel to come in and everybody says, oh, somebody different. Yeah, but guess what? If you change coaches, and this is not for or against Mike McDaniel, but I'm saying if you change coaches, you do realize the coach that comes in will not be – the coach when this project is done, when the turnaround is done.
It won't be Steichen, but it might have looked like he was heading towards hard times in Indianapolis.
They weren't decent. Well, dude, because somebody came to the conclusion that as long as we have this quarterback, he ain't got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. We all saw it.
Yeah, he stunk.
Right? That's probably one of the reasons why they haven't gotten off from Kevin Stefanski. He's had 13 quarterbacks since he's been
here. This is the thing that I wonder, though. Like, all right, we knew Chris Greer is awful. Duh. I mean, we all came to the conclusion, loves injured players, doesn't seem to be very good at evaluating. I don't really know what Champ Kelly's resume is to be prepared for doing this, you know, and coming in here. But, like, if he's the guy, you know, with his past of evaluations and all that type of stuff, but is it him and Mike McDaniel? Because Mike McDaniel's philosophy still appears to be like speed on the outside. It's still how he likes to run things.
That's
so
not how football team is.
Is
built.
Anything going to get fixed if Mike McDaniel's the coach and he has influence on the front
office?
I'll
tell you what's going to get fixed. His job status. If you're looking around the league right now and you're a GM or a coach, and my head coach comes upstairs with the way you see how these teams were built for success, and he says, I want to build it the other way. Yeah.
But that is how
we are mutually. We are mutually designed. He got to change or not have a job. Simple as that. Look around the league.
But
I'm not making this up. I don't have nothing against Mike McDaniel.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Look at how football teams have been built. Successful football teams. You're going to go upstairs and say, I want to do it differently based on what?
But I think the thing that worries me is when Stephen Ross does this stuff, it always is leaving a little remnants of something previous.
He didn't wipe all the way?
Yeah. No, he didn't. That's why you clean house.
Whitewash.
What? And so
he need a bidet.
Yeah, dude, you need a bidet. You need some pressure. And it's like you leave Mike McDaniel, because here's the thing with Chris Greer. One, not a great evaluator. Two, loved injured players. But also, what was he known for? Being collaborative, always giving coaches what he wants, right? And so it's hard not to feel like there's some McDaniel influence on this team. And so now, I don't know, Leroy, it kind of feels like to me, if he does stick around, he's going to have more influence. And I don't know if his philosophical means of building a football team are going to be conducive to getting this team to be physical and change those things, because that's not exactly how he calls games.
Here's what I would say. And I would say this, that football players inherently are physical, right? And to say, I don't know if you can coach a guy to be physical, football is a physical sport.
So, yes, you can. Now, is everybody going to be as physical as the next guy? No. But football in itself is a physical sport. Yeah, the only thing you can do is run offense or defense that's not physical.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to love the trenches. He seems to live in razzle-dazzle.
That's okay. Then guess what? Razzle-dazzle, leaving Florida International Airport at 3 o'clock, mm-hmm. razzle-dazzle on the way to some island somewhere. Like, that's fine. That's fine. Listen, I have absolutely no patience for a coach that doesn't adjust to either what his team needs, what his players can do, or during the course of a game. I'm not. So if he still wants to try to put this square through a circle, right? A square peg through a round hole.
I gotcha.
Right.
I caught up.
Then go ahead. But not on my watch.
Why'd you get mad at me?
Not on my watch. Like, really? Look around the league, man. This league has always been cyclical. When people start getting big backs, everybody wanted a big back. People start getting little scat backs, everybody wanted a little scat back, right? Now you see the teams that have over the years, the last few years, contended for championships, have either had a dominant offensive line or a dominant defensive line. So you bring in a coach, and he says, yeah, I'm going to do it another way. If it doesn't work, he either need to adapt or get out. Simple as that.
No, I get you, but I wonder about, like, does he have the guardrails to change? Like,
who's gonna have a job?
Who's gonna tell him though?
What do you mean? Who's gonna tell him?
I'm telling you. Who's telling?
You don't think nobody's gonna tell him?
Who's telling him that? Like, if you've been here, you have the extension. Mike McDaniel, you survived all this. Your fall guy was Chris Greer. Uh-huh. You have a GM who's been here for 3 seconds, who's never had the job before. Who are the guys who are going to make him change? I don't know.
When you have that conversation with the GM, right?
And new guy?
New guy, yeah. New guy's picking talent. Oh. So when you get to that point and you have a conversation, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I want to do. Now, here's the crazy thing. I'm told you this over and over again. All the places that Mike McDaniel have coached have been a physical football teams. I don't know what the hell happened when he got here.
Yeah, but this is his brainchild. This is how he likes to coach.
Okay,
teams.
Football's still football.
Yeah, but he's got a different means of football. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Take it somewhere else.
But Leroy, how nuts have you been drawn by the way he calls games?
Terrible.
Okay, so I'm of the fear this guy has just been put in a position to have more say in this team, not less.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's a good thing.
Okay. No, it's not. Not if you're going to do it that way. I mean, listen, you don't need to be Stephen Ross business guy to look at this situation and go, hey, look, all the teams that played in the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl the last 5 years do it this way. And why are you doing it this way? Why? Like, because it doesn't seem like that's a good business model. Right? Well, can you explain? Well, I believe that was a good question. Thank you. We have mutually parted ways.
Well, look.
That's it. That's how that conversation will go. It'll happen right after the season.
I hope so.
Whoever the GM is going to have that conversation. And if at any point in time he's not ready, how many playoff wins do you have? How many? Right. You're going to tell me?
I held up a zero, by the way, for radio.
Right. You're going to tell? No. No. And the thing about good football coaches is they're always open to adjusting to win. That's it. That's factual.
We'll take a break. More to come. Little Goosies. No Goosies is next.
We're kind of running out of time here. I want to play one clip, and I'm sorry that I'm going to put everybody through Mike McDaniel's ums and uhs and just in general rambling. He might as well be talking to us about the chlorophyll, the photosynthesis, and the entire process of a plant. But listen to what he says. He's asked about his involvement or just overall how, you know, he felt the trade deadline process went. Listen to what he had to say.
It's a good question. It was a collaboration of myself, Champ, and Brandon Shore, and utilizing the you know, all of the minds that we have within the organization, but, you know, communicating, you know, with our ownership directly. And so, you know, our relationships are strong. We had very, very healthy conversations, and we're all in agreement for the moves and or moves we didn't make. But it was a normal trade deadline process where you are, contrary to popular belief, you generally talk about a ton, over 50% of your players that are that, you know, there's conversations all over the place with every team because everyone's trying to get better and seeing what competitive advantage they can get. Happy with the preparation portion of this morning for the Buffalo Bills.
Again, I apologize for all that, but here's what I took from that. He said it was, you know, a collaboration between him, Champ Kelly, Brandon Shore, and ownership. This is the problem here. Like, Crowder, this is what's happening. I don't know for sure how much collaboration or how much input Mike McDaniel had on whether or not they should trade guys. Genuinely, I don't know. He could just be saying that, right? Like, he could just be saying it, posturing a little bit. But maybe he did. And from what we understand, Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, like, McDaniel had a say in some of the ways that Chris Greer built the roster, which is why he's not innocent in all of this.
He stood on the table for Tua. We heard that was fact.
But not only that, like, maybe it was Chris Greer trying to, you know, start planting some seeds to scapegoat McDaniel. But, like, he was pretty adamant. Like, yeah, Mike has, you know, been a proponent of the direction we're moving in. So I don't know for sure, but I'm going to take him at his word. I don't think Mike McDaniel would lie about that. Why is he involved in these conversations, period, if he's not going to be here long term?
I'll tell you, because Brian Flores wasn't. He didn't want to be. Think about it. Remember the what do they call it? The collaboration.
No,
we need to collaborate. No, not with Mike McDaniel. You go into a meeting deciding between two players and you hear that? I don't know what you just said. Do you like the kid or not, son? Like,
I get that.
To your point, I don't know if you're saying this. I don't think that way of, okay, you want to trade Jalen Phillips? Okay, let's go to coaching. Hey, could you survive without Jalen Phillips? Oh, let's go to scouting. Hey, how do we look without Jalen Phillips? Evaluation, guys. You know, what if we don't have Jalen Phillips? Okay, now let's go to the management. Hey, Stephen Ross, do you think it would be cool if we trade Jalen Phillips? There has to be somebody making that decision. Hey, trade deadline. We're throwing in the towel. We just fired our GM. What are we going to do? We need to get pieces. Okay, we can get rid of Jalen. He's going to ask for a lot of money next year. Okay, so go find the best deal. Done. Out the gate. We don't need to sit and have 18 meetings. He said our relationships had a healthy conversation. I don't even know what that means, our relationships had a healthy conversation. I don't want to talk to that guy if I'm trying to make a decision.
My point is, if Mike McDaniel is in these meetings, you fire Chris Greer. You promote Champ Kelly to interim GM so that, like, the only reason Stephen Ross does that at that moment is because the trade deadline is coming up. He could have waited till Saturday. He could have waited till Sunday. Could have waited till Monday. The reason you fire him Friday morning after the Thursday night football game is because you have the trade deadline. You have 4 days to get somebody in, analyze the situation, and make rational decisions, right?
Yep.
Then why, if you're doing that, are you allowing Mike McDaniel to have a say in these decisions if he can't approach it? I'm not even saying it as a negative for him. He can't approach it rationally. His approach as he's coaching for his job has to be, well, no, why would you trade them? I need them to win. So that's my point here.
Yes.
None of it makes sense. What Stephen Ross is doing here, if Mike McDaniel truthfully was allowed to collaborate on who to trade, who not to trade, how the trade deadline should be approached, makes no sense. Why fire Chris Greer then if you're going to keep somebody contributing on the conversation who has an agenda. And I'm not blaming him, by the way. That's the right agenda for anybody to have, to save their ass, to save their job, to save their livelihood. But it's not the right way to approach the 4 days following the firing of a GM as you enter a total new chapter of your organization. This is why the Dolphins can't get anything right. I'm telling you, this is the problem with the Miami Dolphins. They can't do anything right. They finally make the decision that was inevitable, that was necessary, to fire Chris Greer. And then 3 days later, Mike McDaniel sitting in a meeting campaigning to keep guys that made no sense to keep at this point, at this juncture. Yeah. It's stupid.
And it's the same circle without Chris Greer here. So that collaboration, was Champ Kelly a part of the collaboration to bring in Zach Wilson? Was that the best thing for, you know what I'm saying? I don't know these answers. The collaboration is what Stephen Ross said he wanted. That was the push. Post Flores, he didn't want I don't want to say disgruntled, but just angry or tense atmosphere around his building.
More friendly, more open.
Calm and open or something. They say some phrase like that. You want that? I tell you now, I've been around Flores and McDaniel. You want calm and open, it's way more McDaniel. Flores was talking to the alumni of the Dolphins. I'm talking about Larry Little and Richmond Webb and them were there. He wasn't pleasant then. We gonna get a team where y'all respect us. And he walked the hell away. I don't know if you old ass guys. Y'all can't do nothing for me now. There's a pleasant happiness there. My thing is, it's the same chefs in the kitchen. How are you gonna change the meal?
Yeah.
Champ Kelly's been there. And I am not evaluating Champ Kelly because I let him make some moves first. McDaniel's been there. Stephen Ross has been there. I don't know what Garfinkel gets involved on the football side. Whoever else is around. All you did was pluck out Chris Greer and throw him away. It's just a pie without one piece, but the other piece is still the same.
Yeah.
Who is changing the thought? Does Champ Kelly have that much more pull now than Chris Greer has as the GM, or is it the same pie with a piece sliced out?
It's still the same. It's crazy. It's a garbage cheeseburger. They just took out the American cheese. That's it. But it's still
garbage cheeseburger. Yeah. Take the cheese off a cheeseburger. It's a garbage.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at Bragworthy prices. at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm a jazz burger.
Happy Friday to everybody out there. I do want to, I've already had some people in the media business that have texted in, and I want to say this. What we're going through right now has been really tough because I thought this team was going to be like you did, like some of you did, a lot better than it's been so far. But to be fair, we're really good players. And I forgot about that. I didn't forget about it. It's just been a long time. And so it doesn't feel as badly. By the way, the team that we went over and played overseas that year was the Giants. Played them in a tight ball game. And they went on and won the Super Bowl. The one win was against Baltimore, against the Ravens. I still remember it. They had a chance. They're down on the goal line, and our run defense was really bad. And they decide to kick a field goal instead of go for it. And ends up costing them. That was a win. But I will tell you, these times have been difficult. I just think it's everything. Does this style of coaching work? This, like, over the top, you know, we're in this together. That one comment that Mike made, the teammates just drives me nuts. Just does. Cause every time I know Mike wants to, sometimes I think he wants to be one of the guys. It drives me nuts. I like a lot of things about Mike. I do think he's creative. I'm not saying I do like the positive approach, you know, and positive reinforcement. There's nothing wrong with it. I get it. But, man, it's just it's got to be a leader. There's got to be a guy that runs things. And I don't know if Mike's doing more of that now and or not. I just think and some guys can handle it, by the way. There's a bunch of the leaders on the team are not affected, whether the coach, whatever coach's style is. You don't have to worry about the Zach Sealer. You don't have to worry about a lot of guys on the team. They're going to play their butt off. Whether you're 7-2 or 2-7, they play the same way. And we have a bunch of those guys. They do. They have a bunch of guys who want to win and do it. But you always have some guys that you got to keep your thumb on. And if you don't, and it starts to affect the other players, and it does, Mike. You have no idea it does. Then if you try to change late and they're going, oh, look at this now. He's been a different guy. And now we're going through some hard times and now he's trying to change. And, you know, and those kind of things. And then, you know, the other thing is you need your best players to play well. And the Tua thing, it's just real. He is not playing the same. He's not playing like he did. I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's not. But it really doesn't matter because all that really matters is what Stephen Ross thinks at the very, very top, the guy that owns this team. And the Tua Mike connection to how they're going to play, even if you don't win, are you going to stay competitive in every one of these games? Because we've had three ass kickings now. We've been blown out in three games. And a blowout is losing by three scores. And we've got three of them. We've got three of those games, including the last one that really Thursday night football, when you're playing by yourself, everything is just blows up after that, right? When you're the only game and everybody's watching it. And I think the coverage and the way it was covered with mistake and then going to the owner's box, mistake, fans leaving, owner's box, 30,000 Raven fans, owner's box. I think all the bags on the head, owner's box, missed fumble, owner's box. They probably did us a favor. They probably did us a favor for the owner to push him a little bit on doing something that I know he didn't want this to happen. I mean, he wanted this thing to, I truly, truly, when he says, I like Chris and Mike, he really did like Chris and Mike. I saw it even when things weren't going well. It was still before the games. You're always reading body language, and it was good. It was good. So here we are, folks. Here we are getting ready to play a Buffalo Bills team that Josh Allen is 14-2 against you. The two wins are down here. One of them is rookie year. And how are you going to play? You know what happened up there, 31-21, but there's 5 minutes left, and we got a chance to tie the game up, and Tua threw the interception. So can we clean those things up? Can you play them competitive down here again? Are you going to play hard? Can you put together a complete game? And when I say complete game, not that you win every quarter all around, but you just can't have that third quarter drought thing that's kicked into this team. We've got a lot of really, and when I say bad third quarters, I mean really bad. I don't know what happens at halftime coming out. I have no idea, but I change it up. Whatever you're doing, hey, guys, take your time, man. Listen to a little music. Call your wife, see if she's okay in the stands. I don't know what's going on, but maybe you ought to just flip it up. Keep them busy. Do something. Because some of the third quarters have just been, I want to curse so badly. They have just been real poor. And they need to be better.
Poor was a good choice of words. Thank you.
Well, I got so much trouble here
you
recently.
You did get in a lot of trouble.
Not looking to get back.
I may rat you out this time. If you
No. We got the rat. We got the original rat.
He's the big cheese.
I just don't know how he goes to corporate on me and rats me out and then acts like everything's fine when he sees me. I don't know how he does that.
Did you tell him you were upset?
No, I don't really talk to him.
That's true.
What am I going to say?
Tell him you're upset.
What's that mean?
Bring him a piece of cheese. I don't know.
It's kind of like getting yelled by Shula. Like, I don't appreciate you talking to me that way.
Did you just compare him to Shula?
No, but it's like, wow. You know, I didn't like the way sometimes the old coach, and we were laughing last night. We were telling Bo's always got stories. Bo's way too much in my life right now, by the way. He's just way too much. I think when he gets bored, he picks a phone up and finds me. I must pop up first.
Bo's like your new Omar, like with me. Like everything I say Dolphins-wise like goes back to what he's talking about. And with you, it's Bo now.
So
I love that.
Somehow John Offerdahl's name came up. Mm-hmm. And we had a great John Offerdahl story. He's one of the great middle linebackers for the Miami Dolphins. And he's John's a fellowship Christian. And always been from day one. He's not a reborn. He didn't find it halfway. He came into the league that way and just a real class act guy, really good guy. I always say that because I always feel like, you know, I've been a little dysfunctional and they've tried to get me on that on and off that team. And I haven't, you know, really done well with that. So John's been great. Anyway, John got blasted by Shoes with some of those bad words that Coach Shula liked to use when he's making his point. And I don't know because nobody played harder and better than John Offerdahl was from day one. He lined up day one, lined up at linebacker, second round pick out of a small school. And that dude knew every assignment, was putting all the veterans at where they were supposed to be. And you went, holy crap, this guy, he's going to be really good. Had a scrimmage. I think we were scrimmaging the Atlanta Falcons and John Offerdahl's like making tackles everywhere. Like, wow, is he good. So Shoes got into him because Shoes gets everybody. No matter how good you are, Coach Shula was going to get you. At some point, even the really, really good players have their bad moments. They do. Everybody, one thing about football, nobody has the perfect game. And sometimes your game can affect the outcome. You can miss tackle. I mean, things just happen. Nobody's going to win all the time in individuals' matchups in the NFL. And I get John was kind of a low key guy, hard guy to read, you know, again. And John goes into Coach Shula's office and said, hey, coach. Yeah, John. Cause Shoes, after he does it, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So after Coach Shula would blow up, he was done. It was like, so, and that's hard sometimes when somebody rips you and then they go on and you're like, and you don't realize when you're in your early or mid 20s that it's over for him.
So he didn't want to hear about it again after that. That was it.
No, it was just over. In his eyes, he's done. You should be over it too. Meanwhile, I went home so mad a couple of days from practice. I didn't know whether to go drink or just go home. I was so pissed off sometimes. And by the way, I understand, you know, it's things that they go, wasn't by accident. It's when you play poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And John Offerdahl went into his office as a young player and said, I don't appreciate you talking. This is not my background. My dad was pretty strict, but you can't talk to me like this. I'd appreciate if you wouldn't talk to me like he called him out.
Mm-hmm.
For a young guy, he went in there and goes, hey man, I know I messed up, but I'd appreciate it's disrespectful to talk to another man this way. And I was like, wow. When I heard about it, I went, wow, And so Shoes is just kind of like, hey, man, I play hard for you. I give you every, and if you remember John Offerdahl's middle linebacker, he played. I mean, he broke down, but he played whatever John had, and John made some. I mean, he made Pro Bowl plays. He was unbelievable. And but he went in and told him. He said, hey, man, came in here to tell you. I appreciate if you wouldn't talk to me that way. It doesn't work. I'm good. I understand when you mess up, you have to coach me and stuff, but you can't use some of the words when you're talking to me like that. It's not what I believe in my Christian life. And I was like, wow. Isn't it funny? Of all the things, and Bo and I are sitting there talking about that last night. We somehow got into how guys get treated in the NFL.
Well, how'd it go over?
I'm guessing it changed a little bit. I, cause Shoes, you know, the guy went to church every day. The guy went to church 7 days a week.
Really?
Went to Catholic church. That priest knew in early in the morning. I know, coach, we're getting ready to go. And, so I think Shoes got the message. I didn't go around following around to see, hey, how's John getting treated today? But yeah, it's just,
wow.
Pretty, you know, somebody. Hey, man, I get it. I know it's your style. Seeing you do it to other guys, I don't say anything. Don't do it to me. I'd appreciate it. I get it. I want you to coach me. I want to get coached up, but I could do without some of the words that are hurtful, even to me. You know what to say, dude. You're just kind of looking
at it. It's an amazing story.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee.
True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.